Jesus made an amazing statement just before he died on the cross. And it's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It is finished. Say that with me. It is finished. Three words in English. One word in the Greek, a very special Greek word, tetelestai. There are two meanings, there are two senses to that Greek word tetelestai that I'd like us to consider before we partake of communion together on this Good Friday noon hour. And the first meaning, the first sense, is actually very obvious. Tetelestai, it is finished. It means that something has concluded. Something has come to an end. Something's over. Like if you're watching a movie, you watch it from the beginning, and when it's over, tetelestai, it concluded. So I believe when Jesus made that statement, he's saying that all of his suffering has come to an end. My sacrificial act has concluded. And I think he said that with a great amount of relief, don't you? Because nobody has ever suffered the way Jesus Christ suffered. The last 20 hours of his life were utter agony. The physical suffering, the pain that he endured, hard to imagine. And we think about what he suffered in that way on this day. He was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was handed over to the religious leaders. We're told that they beat him. They plucked out his beard. They threw him in a pit, a dark, damp, cold pit where he got no sleep. He was sleep deprived, bleeding in a cold cell. Early in the morning, they handed him over to the Romans. The Roman soldiers beat Jesus. One of the gospel tells us that they would put blindfolds around him and then punch him and then say, "Prophesy, who hit you?" They shoved a crown of thorns into his skull. Blood poured down his face. The scripture says that he was beaten on the head with the crown of thorns in there. He endured 39 lashes with a Roman flagellum. That's a leather whip embedded with glass and metal on the bare back. 39 lashes. Why not 40? Because they said that would certainly kill a man. He was literally beaten within an inch of his life. And all of that before enduring the worst form of execution ever invented by man. Crucifixion was designed to inflict maximum pain, and it gets worse and worse and worse. It was meant to be a slow, painful death. Jesus experienced that. The worst type of physical pain you can possibly imagine. Now, that wasn't the worst, though, because at the cross, he suffered even to a much greater degree spiritually. For there, the perfect Lamb of God, the sinless one, the spotless one, became the sin bearer. All of the sins of the world were placed upon him. His Father forsook him. He paid a penalty. He experienced the wrath of God on our behalf. John MacArthur put it this way: what Jesus felt while dying on the cross was the total agony of every soul in hell for all eternity, put together, suffered in a few hours. All the punishment for all the sin of all time, that was the depth of his death. So when he says, it's finished, can you feel that? It's over. My suffering is over. By the way, Jesus only had to suffer like that one time. Only one time. Would this world, would the devil, would evil, wicked men be able to treat God's Son like that? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. One time, in just a few moments, we're going to be partaking of communion. And these elements represent what Jesus did. This is a memorial service where we remember. Jesus does not need to be sacrificed over and over again. One time was enough. Amen? And so on this day, we gather and we worship the Lord for the fact that he endured all that voluntarily. Okay, there's another meaning for tetelestai, and it's not as obvious, but it's very, very important. That word can also mean to be completed. Not just that something concludes, but that something is completed. The idea is something has been accomplished. Jesus could have rightfully said at the cross, mission, what? Accomplished. Jesus completed a work at the cross. In fact, Jesus did everything required of him in his life. Perfectly completed everything that was required of him. Tetelestai is a word that servants would use. Their master would send them out to do a task. And they'd do the task, and they'd come back to their master, and they'd say, tetelestai, completed, accomplished. Tetelestai was also a word that was used by artists. After they'd finish a sculpture or a great work, they'd stand back and they'd look at it and say, tetelestai, it's completed, it's a masterpiece. And I will tell you, the life of Jesus Christ is a masterpiece. It's a work of beauty. He accomplished his whole life and death accomplished perfectly what was required. That's quite a statement to make. Could you say something like that? Could you say you've accomplished everything in life? I haven't even accomplished everything that I was supposed to do today. I have all these items on my to-do list. More and more, all those items are going to the never-do list, right? Michelangelo is considered one of the greatest artists of all times. Did you know that when he died, he left more unfinished works than the ones that were completed? Did you know Mount Rushmore was never completed? The original design called for them to be sculpted from the waist up. The government ran out of money. How many people have started great things but never been able to complete them? Who of us in this room could say we have accomplished every single thing that our life was meant to accomplish? Jesus could say that. Jesus completed all of the work. And even more than that, think of it, when Jesus said it's accomplished, he is completing the plan of God put forth before the foundations of the earth were put in place. Max Lucado writes, and I love this, the history-long plan of redeeming man was completed. The message of God to man was completed. The works done by Jesus as a man on earth were completed. The task of selecting and training ambassadors was completed. The job was completed. The song had been sung. The blood had been poured. The sacrifice had been made. The sting of death removed. It's completed. It's finished. It's accomplished. We gather this afternoon and praise him and thank him that he completed the work. And we praise him most of all this day and every day. Because at the cross, he finished the work necessary for salvation. He completed the work that was necessary for you and I to be saved. All that was necessary for sinful humanity to be saved was accomplished. And Jesus said, I have completed it. Folks, listen. There is a real God who loves us and made us. And he is an awesome, mighty God. And he is a holy God. There's no sin in him. He created us for a relationship with him, and then mankind blew it in the garden. We fell into sin. We rebelled. And you need to understand, the scripture teaches our sin separates us from a holy God. Our sin is deserving of condemnation. Our sin is deserving of death. And understand that every single sin must be paid for. Jesus at the cross paid for our sin. He died in our place. Perhaps the most important way that tetelestai has been used in ancient times was in terms of banking. Did you know tetelestai was a banking term? When a person would fully pay off his debt, the banker would hand him a receipt with the word tetelestai stamped on it. Finished, complete, paid in full. I want you to think about that every time you go to Sam's and get a receipt, okay? Tetelestai. Paid in full. Jesus at the cross paid the sacrifice that pays the full payment of debt for sinners. Selfish ambition, tetelestai, paid in full. Adultery, tetelestai, paid in full. Anger, tetelestai, paid in full. Lying, tetelestai, paid in full. Drunkenness, tetelestai, paid in full. Anger, hatred, bitterness, tetelestai, paid in full. It's an amazing statement that Jesus made. It's finished. My suffering is over. The work has been accomplished completely. Nothing was left undone. And all of the work that's necessary, that's required for sinners like you and I to be saved, has been accomplished. Amazing statement. And by the way, this was a shout of victory. This was not a defeated statement. This was not Jesus kind of hanging his head at the end there. It's finished. This is a shout of victory. Tetelestai. Finished, completed, done. If his hands had not been nailed to the cross, I think he would have fist pumped. This is a cry you make when you reach the top of Mount Everest. This is the cry that you make when you finish your last final exam as a senior in high school. You finished your dissertation. It's victory. It's a shout of victory. And understand, Jesus at the cross didn't say, I am finished, did he? He said, it is finished. Because was Jesus finished after that? No, 3 days later, and we're going to celebrate that on Sunday morning. Our Lord, after completing and enduring that sacrificial act, rose again and he is alive today, victorious over death. There's one more little detail about this word tetelestai that I want you to understand, and it's a little technical, but stay with me. Tetelestai in the original Greek language is in the perfect tense. It's not in the past tense. It's in the perfect tense. And you say, well, what does that mean? Past tense, something happened. Perfect tense, something happened and is still in effect for today. It was finished in the past. It is finished in the present. And it will always be finished. That's the tense. The work has been completed, and the consequences of his work are enduring. In other words, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is sufficient for all sins of all sinners for all time. He finished it then. The work has been accomplished. No more work is necessary. And what he's done is sufficient. His sacrifice is sufficient for you right now, today. That horrific sacrifice that was made 2,000 years ago, still fresh, still available, still covering sins. You must simply receive it. You must acknowledge that you're a sinner before God. You must acknowledge that he sent his Savior, who paid the greatest price you could possibly imagine to get you saved. And you must receive him. Believe upon him. I love that phrase. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Jesus said, it's paid in full. You know what that means? You can't add anything to it. You can't add any work to salvation. The only thing left for you to do is to receive, to believe, to open your heart, to let the blood of Christ wash away all of your sins. There was an evangelist who lived many years ago, and he was kind of a funny guy, and he was out on his out in the front yard. He was doing some work, and a neighbor came by and said to him, what must I do to be saved? And he said, it's too late, and went back to his work. Well, the guy was alarmed. So what do you mean that it's too late for me to be saved? Is there nothing I can do? Too late, he said. It's already been done. The only thing you can do is believe. And I'm telling you, my friend, if you open your heart and believe, all of your sins will be forgiven, washed away. You'll become a child in the family of God. Don't let the greatest sacrifice in the history of humanity pass you by. Open your heart. I'm going to invite some men to come up here, and we're going to hand out these elements. Jesus told us to partake of communion, to partake of these elements in memorial, remembrance of him. And so many of us as Christians are going to take these elements remembering. And that's what it's meant. And really, the communion service is for those who have already received Christ. They've already, by faith, acknowledged their need for Jesus and opened their heart. And this is our way of remembering in a graphic way. in a tangible way what he did, and we thank him for it. Now, there are different ages of kids here, and I'm going to leave it at the discretion of parents as to whether or not you feel your son or daughter is ready to partake. If you have received of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith, take freely. If you have not yet received Christ, do it right now. Do it right now. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. I want everyone to just maintain a level of reverence here. Bow your heads. Bow your hearts. Tell Jesus how much you love him. Perhaps some of you as Christians need to recommit your life to him. And then right now you have an opportunity. Right now you have an opportunity. That sacrifice that was made so long ago, has it been applied to your life yet? Have you received by faith? Do you realize that all of your sins can be washed away? The price has been paid. It's finished. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. Bend the knee. Bow the head. Surrender your life. If you've never done so, just in a prayer of faith, just right where you're at, just say, Lord Jesus, I receive you right now into my heart. I thank you for the price that you paid for me. Thank you for your sacrifice, your courage, your strength, your love, your grace. And so I invite you right now, be my Lord and Savior. Wash away all my sins. Make me a child in your family, born again. Fill me with your spirit and help me to follow you all the days of my life. We're going to distribute these elements, and I would ask that you would hold them. And by the way, as you hold them and handle them, look at them. Consider the blood. Consider the body that was broken for you. Hold them. We'll all partake of it together, though. So we'll do that as a family, corporately. Such a powerful ordinance, and I'm so glad that Jesus commanded that we would do this regularly. Folks, this is the essence of the Christian faith. This is, if you boil the Bible down to one concept, it's right here. We have a God who loves us, sent his son to save us, offered his body, shed blood on the cross, died for our sins and rose again the third day. And he is alive and he is coming again one time, one day. And this is the essence. You should never question if God loves you. I know we go through hard times in life and we might be tempted to think, does God... No, he loves us. Amen? Amen? He's proven it. And also, in knowing and being reminded of how much he loves us, we're encouraged to love him back. The way that we live our lives in our worship, in our witness. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's remember. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Father, I want to pray for your richest blessing upon everyone gathered here. God, I pray your blessing upon marriages, families, friends. Lord, I pray that you, in your healing power, would heal those that are struggling with sickness today. Lord, as we go forward into this weekend, I pray that you would fill our homes with joy, our families. I pray that your joy and your life and your salvation would be obvious in our lives. Shine forth, Lord. I pray that your love would be enjoyed this weekend by everyone here, and that it would be on full exhibit. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful time. In Jesus' name, amen.